I believe that with the song choice from the praise team to the choir this morning, that Jesus has been exalted. That Jesus has been exalted. That's why we exist, to see the name of Jesus lifted high, to see people knowing Him, worshiping Him, making Him known. I don't know. I hadn't been to heaven. I'm not an expert. But I don't think there'll be any song sung in heaven about me. Or about you. And I'm so glad that this morning we sang about Jesus. Because that's what's going to happen in heaven. I think that is timely. I think God puts that together. This morning we're going to begin a new series, Life as Worship. We're going to be asking the question, what does it mean for me to give all of me to God? What does it mean for me to submit my life, what we're going to talk about this morning, to submit my life to God? All of it. Every square inch. What does that mean? Before we dive into God's Word this morning, if you will, meet me, Romans chapter 12. Find your way there. We'll pray and we'll get started. Father God, we pray and we're going to be praying the next few weeks that You would have all of us. Lord, that You would have more of us than our voice for 15 minutes every Sunday morning. Lord, that there would be no area, no part of our life marked off limits to You. But Lord, as Christians, as disciples, followers of Jesus, we would say, Jesus is my Savior, and Jesus is my Lord. He's my Master. He deserves all of me. And so, Lord, I pray, just like in the last few moments, that You will again be exalted in our worship. Move in our midst to build up Your church. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know You, that today would be a day their life is drastically transformed by Your grace. Your gospel, Your power, for Your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Romans chapter 12. This morning we're going to take a look and ask the question. I'm actually going to ask three questions. What is worship? Why do we worship that way? And how do we worship? So what is worship? Why do we worship? How do we worship? Three questions as we seek to get clarity on what it means to give all of us to God. Look with me, Romans 12. Verses 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all that He's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Romans chapter 12, life as worship. The first question as we look at the text this morning is going to be, what is worship? We talk a lot about worship. Well, we're going to a worship service. Well, what in the world does that mean? A lot of times we say churchy things, but we really don't know what they mean. What is worship? Well, Paul gives us a view, a good view, of what is biblical right worship in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He's urging the church in Rome. He's urging them. He says, I plead with you. I picture a red-faced apostle Paul, right? He's writing, but I'm envisioning a preacher. A red in the face. Maybe on his knees, maybe bent over with his hands. But hey, I urge you. I plead with you. Do what? This is important. Well, what's so important that you plead with us? That you give your body to God. That you would give your lives to God. He goes on to say, let them be a living and holy sacrifice. The kind that He will find acceptable. This is your reasonable act of spiritual service, or as NLT says, this is truly the way to worship Him. We get a few instructions on what biblical right worship is here in the first verse. One, he says, give your body. submit your lives. Right? We look at the scriptures, especially the Old Testament, and we see this giving of offerings. Well, Paul starts off, hey, that offering that you are to give is your life. Going back to the Old Testament, he touches on how there to be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice that as you live, you submit everything to God. You getting it? We give all that we are to God. You say, well, why do you call that worship? Because Paul does at the end of verse 1. He says, this is truly the way to worship Him, or some of your translations say, this is your reasonable act of service, your reasonable act of spiritual service. What we see in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, is that worship is not an area of our life, not a section of our life, but worship is our life. No matter where we spend our Sundays, no matter where we spend our Tuesdays, we are always worshiping. Always worshiping something. As you talk with folks about this topic, worship, it seems that in many people's minds that worship is a piece in a pie chart. Right? You get that image in your mind. Worship is a piece of a pie chart that sectioned off like your finances and your family and your job is worship. But according to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, this is not the way that the Holy Spirit who inspired Paul to write this viewed worship. No, worship is less of a pie chart and more of a pot of soup. I don't know about you, but you can look at me and tell that I like soup. We had some oyster stew for the first time the other night. It was like 80 degrees outside. And we had oyster stew, and I was happy, right? Because 80 degrees is cold in North Carolina. I was happy to have oyster stew. Thank you, babe. Got to be careful when you're up here. But worship is less of a pie chart and more of a pot of soup, where everything in our life kind of mixes together. It's kind of messy where our family touches our finances, where our job touches our family. And somewhere in there is our hobby or our pleasure. Worship is all that. Worship is all that mixed together. Paul writes, give your body to God as a living sacrifice. Paul touches on this when he writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10:31. He says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, whether you play golf or watch football, whether you go to the mall or the park, whether it's with your kids or your wife, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Paul's touching there. He's saying there, do everything that you do as an act of worship. Because it already is. Everything that we do is an act of worship. And so we've got to be careful what we worship. What do you worship? You want to know the answer to that question? Look at your life. Are you submitting yourself, your body, your life to God as a living sacrifice? Or are you submitting yourself to the God of money? Or the God of pleasure? Whatever it is, your life is your worship. The second question, though, is a natural question to ask. You're the Roman church, and you hear Paul taking things quite seriously. I plead with you. I urge you. And you look at Paul and say, Paul, why are you so red in the face? Why is this such a big deal? Right? Well, why can't my worship just be something I do at 10:15 on Sunday? Why is it such a big deal? Why, the second question, why worship God with all of our lives? Why go all in? Good question. Why go all in? I remember years ago doing youth ministry with a group from South Carolina, and we went up to Brevard to this awesome scene called Sliding Rock, right? The water is about 13 degrees, and you climb this big rock, you go to the top, and you slide down. Well, being adventurous as I am, afterwards, we go to a cliff right down the road. It's not marked anything like that, and one of the kids say, hey, it'd be fun to jump from that, right? It's youth ministry. youth ministry. And being 19 years old and not having very many parents with us, say, yeah, let's do it. Let's go do it. And so the boys are all up there, right, and they're jumping off. They'll stand way back here, get a running start, jump off into the water. And I'm holding my breath. Please don't let them hit a rock. Please don't hit them rock. Please don't let them hit a rock. Well, we got this girl named Gabby, and Gabby's about 3 foot taller than I am, right? She's a star volleyball player. She's super adventurous, but for some reason, Gabby is extra nervous. And Gabby gets back there like the boys do. I'll do it this way. She gets back there like the boys do, and she starts running, and she gets to the edge, and then she stops. She stops, right? And I remember saying to Gabby, Gabby, if you're going to do this, and you're not going to get hurt, you just got to go all in. If this experience is going to be everything it's supposed to be, you just got to go all in. Close your eyes and run, and the ground will disappear. Just run. Just go all in. And if I was Gabby, I would have looked at me and said, "Well, why? Why do I want to experience this?" And so as we see this serious Paul, this red-faced Paul saying, "I plead with you, I urge you, give everything that you have, all of your life to God." I'm just going to ask, why? Why? This is not what all the other Christians' life looks like. They're able to keep their worship as a piece of the pie. Why should mine be a pot of soup? Why? I asked this question as a teenager. I remember walking on the beach. My mom, sorry, smoking a cheap cigarette. I don't know why that matters. Talking to a girl. And I remember her asking a question. I don't know if lost people can be inspired by the Holy Spirit or not, but I think she might have been. She asked me, "Well, what do you think about religion? What do you think about God?" And I remember this cheap cigarette. I was trying not to choke to death, looking at her and saying, "Listen, I'm a Christian, but I don't think that really has much to do with the way I live." And if we're just honest, that's the way we live sometimes. So Paul, why go all in? Why give all of my life as an act of worship to God? Why? Well, he touches on it in the middle of verse 1. Again, he says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, I urge you to give your bodies, to give your lives to God." Why? Because of all he has done for you. Because all he has done for you. We worship God with all of our lives, reserving nothing for ourselves or for the world, because all he has done for us. If we need motivation to give everything to God, we need to think about the God who gave everything for us. We sang about it this morning. I love that hymn we sang, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." I love that. Because that's what drives our worship. We sing it as worship. But it drives our worship. Listen to these words. You say, "Well, why in the world should I worship?" This is why. Listen to how deep the Father's love for us. "Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished." Why I worship today is not because I'm good at it. Why I worship today is not because all of my life is together, but because Jesus finished work on the cross and out of the tomb. We worship today because all he has done for us. What does it mean to give all of me to God? It's to remember how much Christ has given to me. John, in John 3:16, you all know it, but he starts out, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only son." Remember, we're talking about real people in space and time here in the Romans, that they're reading this in the midst of their lives. That they're probably trying to balance the pot of soup and the pie chart. They're hearing all this, but it's making sense to them. Because back in Romans chapter 3, they heard that we're all sinners. And in Romans 6:23, they heard about the penalty of that sin, that it is death, because God is just. But the gift of God, free gift of God, what he gave, what he gives, is eternal life. Summed up in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God expressed his great love for us by sending his son, giving his son, to die for us while we were yet sinner. They were hearing this through the lens of, yes, we remember what God has done for us, and He is deserving of all of our lives. And so when we're tempted not to give God all of us, would we remember what He gave for us? Before He called us to be a living sacrifice, He gave His Son as a dying sacrifice. I know some of you are thinking, why do we have to do this gospel thing every week? You can talk about the gospel again? Absolutely. This is what drives our service. This is what drives our giving. This is what drives our singing. This is what drives our rest. This is what drives the way that we raise our family. I'll just be honest with you. This is a fight. Amen? Living as a living sacrifice is a fight. So much that Paul, who wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, I have run the race, I have fought the fight, I have kept the faith. This is a fight. We've got a little girl, and I love her. The apple of my eye. And me and Taylor were talking this past week about teenage years. She's two, but they're coming, like next month. They're coming. What does it mean for her daddy to live as a living sacrifice when all the other little girls are wearing what all the other little girls are wearing? But God has called me to be the spiritual leader of my home. It's a fight. In those moments, when my little girl stomps her way up the staircase to go change, I need to remember the real, relevant grace of God. Because it's a fight. This is what saves us, and this is what carries us. All of it is worship. Why do it? What God has done for us. The third question, final question this morning, is how do we do it? This is a tall task. Every square inch, every moment, whether I eat or I drink, whether I play video games, whether I'm on a date, how in the world do I do that? Well, in verse 2, we find that instruction. Paul says, don't copy the behavior or don't conform. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing, perfect. How do we do this? Two ways. We worship God with all of our life by living a reserved life. That sounds fun, doesn't it? We worship God with all of our life by living a reserved life by having a renewed mind. First, let's talk about a reserved life. I joked about that being fun because some of you have some outgoing personalities and you say, that's just not natural for me. Well, what I mean by a reserved life is not shy and quiet. What I mean is by being set apart, designated for special use, being consecrated, reserved for God. We see this in the beginning of verse 2. Paul writes, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Remember what kind of sacrifice, what kind of living sacrifice he instructs them to be at the end of verse 1. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. That word holy, another one of those church words we might not really get. What that means is reserved, set apart for special use, without blemish. We're talking about sacrifices. Remember the Old Testament and how the Israelites would have to give a sacrifice, a goat or a lamb, whatever. And remember that it couldn't just be any lamb. It couldn't be any goat. They couldn't go out there and say, well, this one's sick, and I can give that to God. Well, this one's a little gimpy. Right? And I'll give that one to God. It won't cost me much. That wasn't the requirement. The requirement was that the people would reserve for God the best they had to offer. The one without blemish. And that's what Paul is saying to the Romans here. Hey, reserve the best you have to offer. All that you have, actually, for God. Be holy. Don't look like everyone else, because you're not everyone else. As God said, be holy, for I am holy. The cry of the Christian, whether in success or martyrdom, should be, my life belongs to God. My life is reserved for God. Tonight we're going to talk about Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, where Paul says, For me, Paul says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me, my life, living, is Jesus. Well, that's the instruction that Paul is giving them for worshiping in every life. Let your life be reserved for Jesus. The way we walk, the way we talk, ought to be reserved for Jesus. What we do with our money should be reserved for Jesus. What we do in our bedroom should be reserved for Jesus. What we watch on our TV set should be reserved for Jesus. The things coming through our earbuds should be reserved for Jesus. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Let me ask you, and this is something that really kicked my tail this week, to be honest. Is the way you raise your kids any different than the way your lost neighbor raises their kids? Is what you do with your money any different than what your lost neighbor does with his money? Is the way that you talk any different than the lost people around you? We are called to worship in every area of our lives. How? By living a life reserved for Him. Living a life reserved for Him. Would you be different? Would you stick out? We had a wedding this weekend. I tell you, weddings are different, right? Weddings are different. I said in Sunday school this morning, and you can talk to me about why after this, but most of the time I would prefer a Christian funeral than a wedding. And some of you are wincing right now. But it's a good wedding. And in the wedding, there is a whole group of people from church to unchurched to going to a church that doesn't preach the gospel. You can tell a lot about somebody, how they conduct themselves at a rehearsal dinner and a reception. I ask you, in the rehearsal dinner and reception of your life, do you look any different than everybody else? I had somebody tell me at the rehearsal dinner that the drunkest they ever saw their dad is when he came home from the preacher's house. We are to be different. We are to be reserved for the use of Jesus. What would the Word say? We were bought with a price. We are not our own. We live reserved. What about that renewed mind? He goes on in verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. By renewing your mind. Have you ever gotten in your car, your truck, you're getting ready to go to work, you're in a hurry, you get in your car, your truck, and you go to crank it, and nothing happens? You ever been there? Been there a lot. Right, you're in a hurry. I got somewhere to be. I've been late 3 times this week. I can't afford it again. Nothing happens. Nothing happens at the turn of your key. Right? The first thing you do is check your tires. No, you check your battery. You pop the hood. You look at the battery. And on the positive and negative is this nasty gum. Crusted up. So I was thinking about what color it is. I can't even give a color. Gross. Well, if you've got a grandpa like mine, you know the first thing you do is grab a Coke, right? You grab a Coca-Cola, and you pour it on the corrosion, because that's what that nasty gunk is called, and slowly but surely, the Coke eats away the corrosion. You ever been there? Ever done that? It works. Well, the truth is we live in a world where we run. And while we are running, we are living in a sinning lives. And in the middle of that, our minds become corroded. Gunk begins to build up where we cannot perform to the potential that God's given us. What Paul is saying to the Romans here is, hey, let God, submit yourselves to God so that He can pour some Coca-Cola on you. Be renewed by His grace and by His truth. Submit yourself to Him. Submit your mind to Him. This means that we submit our assumptions, that we submit our beliefs to the authority of God's Word and God's will. My mind is so easily corroded. Gunk builds up very easily. And when I'm not allowing God to renew my mind, my life tends to look a lot like everyone else's. Right thinking, right believing leads to right living. Submit your lives, that means submit your mind. Oftentimes when we think about this word submit, wrapping up here, a lot of times when we think about this word submit, and the word sacrifice is even in there, we think about the word sacrifice, and we think about this as a bad thing. But at the end of verse 2, we see that this is a very good thing. Being transformed, being renewed, submitting ourselves as a sacrifice is a good thing. It says, don't be conformed, be transformed, be renewed. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. What in the world does that mean? That I will learn to know God's will for me, which is good and pleasing and perfect. What that means is if when I'm living a life of worship, when my mind is set on living every square inch of my life out as an act of worship for God, I'll be able to look at situation to situation to situation and be able to say, is that God's will for me? That's a question on all of our minds, right? What is God's will? You ask somebody, well, what do you think about this? Well, we're praying about it. What is God's will? Well, as a worshiper, with our minds set on worshiping God in every area of our life, with our lives and our minds submitted, we're able to look at a situation and not think only, is this good or bad? Because that's a pretty low question, right? But we can think, is this what brings God most glory? Is this what most honors God? You want to live a life of worship to the one true God? You want to give all of yourself to God? Ask that question at each turn when considering God's will. How should we spend our money? Well, what brings God most glory? How should we raise our kids? Well, what brings God most glory? Should I drink or not drink? Well, what brings God most glory? It's not always a good or bad. Sometimes it's, most of the times, all the times, it is what brings God most glory. Not, well, it's good or bad. What is best? This is good for us. I find out when I do what most glorifies God, I'm not always the safest. I'm not always the most comfortable. But I'm where's best. This morning, would you consider this with me? Is there any area of your life, is there any belief, assumption that you've not submitted to God as worship? Anything. 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 Response this morning, consider God's goodness through Jesus and submit your life to Him. I'm going to pray, the altar will be open. Would you think on that? What God gave for us and what we have to offer Him. Father God, we love You. We thank You for Your grace. First, we stop and just ponder Your grace. Lord, because none of this matters. None of this means anything if it's not for the right why. We can give as much to charity as we want to. We can sacrifice as much of our time as we can. But Lord, if it's not rooted in Your grace, if it's not rooted in the gospel, it does not matter. It does not matter. And so, Father God, I pray that today we would, again, be reminded of Your mercy for us. Be reminded of the gift of Your Son. Be reminded of Your deep, deep love for us. And Father God, I pray that we would take a real look at ourselves. What in our life does not honor You? What in our life does not glorify you? What in our life would bring more glory to you, more honor to you? What else in our life are we worshiping other than you? Lord, would we say today, Lord, have all of me, every square inch of me. Lord, we love you and thank you, give you the honor. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.